You're listening to the Low Pressure Podcast, the podcast for skiers.
Presented by CMH Heli Skiing and Fat Tire Amber Ale.
Hello, hello, hello. This is the Out of Bounds Podcast, not the Low Pressure Podcast. And if I got you, it's April Fool's. So LOL, haha, LMAO, we got you. Warner and I, we got you with the joke. If it's not April Fool's Day anymore when you're listening to this, I apologize for us being childish. So don't hold that against us. Anyway, all that aside, we have a great episode for you today with Ryan Setzer. Ryan is a skier from Utah. We talk about all things skiing. We talk about her career to this point. We talk about this huge backflip she sent on C-Frame a few weeks back, which is just this very big hit in Alta, if you're unfamiliar. And she got a bunch of great response from like some huge pro athletes in skiing, including Tatum Nod and Michelle Parker. And I thought that was really cool. It was very cool how publicly they shared their stoke for her and just how publicly everyone's been sharing their stoke for her. So we chatted about that. We chatted her mogul background. And we also chatted about what needs to change in the industry for women. And all like that's pretty much it. The first little bit of this got cut off. We had some weird audio and connectivity issues, I think, on my end. But the last 40 minutes or whatever this is was awesome. And Ryan is great. So I hope you guys enjoy the episode. Please give her a follow on social media. It's just at Ryan Setzer, which is R-I-A-N-Z-E-T-Z-E-R, I believe. Don't shoot me if that's wrong, but going off the top of my head, and I believe that's correct. Before we jump into the episode, we just have a couple ad reads here. First, we have Athletic Brewing. Athletic Brewing is a non-alcoholic beer for the craft beer lover at heart. Stuff tastes good. It looks the part. It feels exactly like drinking a beer when you're drinking it. I mean, it's legit. They also do well by doing good. 2% of all sales go back to maintaining trails and parks that often are underserved by government budget shortfalls. So that's cool. They're giving back. Like they're very rad. And you can also buy the non-alcoholic beers on athleticbrewing.com, and customers get free shipping with orders of two or more six packs. And you, in addition to that, can use promo code out of bounds, all caps 15 for 15% off for your first purchase. Free shipping, 15% off. It's a great deal. Go to athleticbrewing.com. If you're going to jump on the non-alcoholic train, you might as well save some money while you're doing it. This is your opportunity, and let them know we sent you by using promo code out of bounds 15, all caps. And then before we actually jump into the episode, I would love some feedback from you guys. There's a contact us button on the website. If you want to just give me feedback, write me a note, tell me you love me, tell me you hate me. That stuff would be great. If you want to let me know what you think of the pursuit with Mr. Adam X on Wednesdays. If you'd like to see more stuff like that, shoot me a mail there. You can also leave a review on iTunes. That would be where I'd prefer you put the love, but whatever you want at this point. I just want some more feedback. We want to keep growing the show. We want to keep doing things. And also, like, if you have guest recommendations, like people you'd really like to see on the show, or people you want to hook us up with. I've gotten a few of those lately, and they're awesome. Like, I really appreciate the hookup to get somebody on the show that's interesting. So, yeah, do that. Anyway, here's Ryan Setzer. I hope you guys enjoy the episode, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks. Bye.
At Snowbird, and it wasn't, like, a super nice day. It was pretty firm, and I landed straight on my head and broke my back.
Oh, my God.
So I think that was a good reality check for me to be like, hey, you're not invincible. You need to like think through your actions before just like hucking 30-foot backflips on hard pack day.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I mean, that makes sense to me, like to my head as not a even near professional, like not even thinking about a professional athlete. Like it makes sense to me that you would look at something and go like, oh, that seems scary. Like maybe check myself, maybe have a plan. But it's funny, like the mentality is just, it's just different, right?
Yeah, no, it is different. And especially like transitioning from moguls where it's so controlled and there's a coach telling you all the time, like, okay, do a straight air and then do a back tuck and then do a back X or whatever. Someone else is making all those decisions for you.
Mm.
And when you like transition into free skiing and have to make those decisions for yourself, it definitely was a learning curve of kind of the line of what you're capable of and what might be a little too much.
Mm. So when you're working with sponsors or you're trying to work with a brand, how do you go about doing it? Because that's one of the things that I think is most intimidating to so many people that want to be free skiers or aspiring professional free skiers. Like they don't know what to do. They don't know how to make that jump, I guess. And they don't know what to do with their time either. Like, how do you manage yourself? And like, is there anyone in particular that you look to and are like, okay, like how should I go about my career trajectory? Cause you're young and it's gotta be hard to just be like, especially being in Utah, it's gotta be hard to just look at all these people and go, or maybe it's a good thing. I don't know. What do you do? How do you like, cause I, speaking for myself and I know for some other people, I would have no idea what to do with all that time. Like if somebody was just like, you're a free skier now, like what do you, like, here you go, this is it. Like, what do you do?
Yeah. I think that's a question I'm still trying to navigate too. I think where I really got my start was that, I ski for Snowbird. So that was kind of my very first experience shooting in front of, or like skiing in front of a camera at all. I think, and that just kind of opened a lot of doors of meeting a bunch of people. I think in Utah, the key is just like meeting as many people as you can, skiing with as many people as you can, being nice to everyone. Just like kind of honestly, just like getting your name out there. Cause a lot of it honestly is word of mouth, at least in my experience. You know, like a company might be looking for a female athlete and someone involved might be like, oh, I know this girl, Ryan. Like it's all been word of mouth in my experience. It's never been just like a blind me reaching out.
Mm.
It always helps just to like have people know who you are. If that makes sense.
No, it totally
and
makes sense.
It kind of just takes time.
Yeah.
And it's not like when I started free skiing, I like set out to like want sponsors and stuff. It almost.
It came.
You just like ski to your best of your ability and it almost comes to you. Like, I know that sounds silly, but.
That's probably the last answer that people want to hear. People want to know like the in, like how do you just become a pro tomorrow? But like, it's the like most real answer. You're right though. Like 100%, I think.
Yeah. It's got to come like first and foremost from your passion for skiing. And if you're out there all the time and if you're pushing yourself, like people notice that and you know, introduce you to people. And
I think that part of it is the most underrated. It's like everybody always says, oh, it's who you know, but I don't know if people actually like believe in the committing to the who you know part, like in the sense that they like it is work, like getting to know people and meeting people and going out to a thing that you may not want to go to otherwise. Like that is part of the whole deal, right?
For sure. Yeah. And just like saying yes to any opportunity you get, like even if it's like a trip with, like I went on a trip with Jiro last year and like the skiing wasn't awesome, but I met so many like awesome people and got invited to more events. And it's just like saying yes to the opportunities you get is important.
Yeah, for sure. What do you have a plan? Like, do you have a career trajectory in mind? Like, is there something that you want? Like you said, you're a goal setting type person. Like, what is that? How does that translate to your career as a skier overall?
Yeah. Well, it's hard because a lot of my goals, like I kind of felt like were just like a dream until this year. And then it kind of started to fall into place. My ultimate goal within skiing would be to film with MSP or one of those companies like that, maybe TGR. Just being in the ski movies and being a face of progression in skiing. And
I like that.
You know, inspiring other skiers to push themselves. Is kind of my main goal. So we'll see. Hopefully it happens one day.
I bet it will. Why MSP? Like, why is that the first one? Like, immediately, it sounds like that's the one you have your mind on.
Yeah, no, that would definitely be my number one choice. Just mostly because some of my biggest role models in skiing are the Blondes. I'm sure you know them. Yeah, they ski for MSP. And just, they're just like the sendiest ladies on skis ever. And they've just really pushed. I remember like watching like their edits like years ago before they were kind of a big deal and being like, these girls are so sick.
No, can you hear me? We're good. Yeah, we just got a little, we got a little pause.
I got excited. Anyway,
as soon as you get excited,
I got so excited that the computer stopped working. But yeah, I just remember thinking those girls are so sick. Like they're doing tricks on cliffs. Like that was my original inspiration for sure. So just to kind of continue like what they're doing. And
yeah,
I think kind of the image of MSP is just like progression of like free ride tricks in the backcountry. And I feel like that is the style I want for my ski career. So.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And I think it's awesome. Like, I know I've mentioned a couple times that it sounds like you're a goal oriented person, but I think that's huge. And I think there's just so many people, especially with the way that social media is now and with like the pro ski career, I think it's important to kind of like line up what you want. And like, it's really cool to hear someone say like, this is what I want. Like ideally MSP is like where I would like,
I'm like shouting out, hey guys.
It's very direct. It's like Warren Miller comes by. You're like, no, bye. I'm out. Like, see it. Like, but I think that part's really cool. Like, you know what you want. And I think it's attainable too. Like, I think you're literally watching in the same reel. Like I was clicking through Michelle Parker's story and it was you. And then it was one of the girls from the Blondes. I don't even know which one it was. Like, and everybody was just sending.
Yeah, no, that was like, that like so made insane. My whole life. Just the fact that she, like, any of those girls know who I am, because I just look up to them so much. And just the fact, I think it's so cool that I can look up to them so much, so athletically. And they're also just like really nice human beings. Like that combo is just like the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Like Michelle Parker, like nicest woman ever. She's awesome.
She seems like, I've never met her, but she seems like the nicest person ever for sure. I think having role models in this sport is a really interesting thing because it's not like other sports in the sense that you may not ever meet these people, right? It's not like a LeBron. You may actually get to go skiing with these people. You may actually get to have real interactions with them. What is that feeling like, I guess, to have an interaction with somebody like that that you really look up to? That's a bizarre thing, because if you look at who Michelle Parker is, I guess, in relation to, like, I don't know, pick basketball or football, like as a professional athlete, a kid that looks up to that sport is just dumbfounded that they get to like even be in the same area as them. But you get a I think that's awesome, and I think that's what makes this sport so special.
It is so cool. Like, I love, like, what a small community the ski community is, and how humble and kind, like, any pro skier I've ever met. I remember when I first moved to Park City, and I was, like, walking down Main Street, and I saw Tom Walsh, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, Tom Walsh doesn't just walk down the street.
That's
like, that's so cool. And he's just, like, a normal guy, and he's, like, so nice.
Yeah.
And, like, I think that's so cool that you can be so close to your idols and they can give you advice, and, you know, they really take interest in people, and it's so cool.
Yeah. And okay, so did you have, like, is there stuff for next season that you have in your head already that you're like trying to plan out? Like, do you have, what does a plan look like? Because that's one of the hardest things for me to understand how you guys do it. It's like, you take a summer basically off for, you know, you're not doing anything. The sport that you do, like, that is your career and is, you know, a big part of your life, only takes place, you know, 8 months out of the year at the very most. What's the plan for next year? And do you even plan this far ahead?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, okay. I'm the total nerd who's like the super planner. But also, I have the lucky opportunity, because I come from moguls. We used to train at the Utah Olympic Park, which is basically ski jumps into water.
Yep.
So you can train and kind of progress in the air in a safe environment. So I get the opportunity to go out there in the summer still. So that's definitely a plan over the summer, is kind of I don't really want to be a one trick pony, you know, I want to go kind of progress my tricks in the air. So hopefully I can come back next year with a bigger bag of tricks.
Is there something in particular that you're trying to get dialed?
The double backflip's a big one. That's definitely next on the list.
All right.
Hopefully cork sevens and flat threes kind of are, I feel like, would round out my bag of tricks.
Sick.
So yeah, hopefully summer training will do that. And then assuming COVID is a little less extreme by next winter, I'd love to get up to British Columbia. That kind of style of pillow skiing, lots of hits, is kind of the what I really want to film.
Yeah.
So hopefully I'll be able to make it up there and film. That's definitely the goal I have right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. And yeah, I can definitely echo that sentiment. I hope that by this time, at least like beginning of the season next year, that we are back to like sort of a regular existence. Yeah,
for sure.
It's crazy. And like Revelstoke just closed today. And Whistler closed. Yeah, like it's insane. I can't believe that we're still dealing with this to this extreme of a level.
Yeah, I feel like there's still so much winter left. So like the fact that they're closing, that's insane.
Yeah, yeah. How is it right now in Utah? Like, what's the situation? How's the skiing? What's like, is it good? Because here in New England right now, it's trash. It's absolute trash. Yeah. And nothing is good.
Yeah, it's full spring right now. The last few days have been pretty cold. So not a lot, but hopefully the next couple of days it's going to warm up so we can go hit some spring jumps. I'm definitely not done skiing yet.
yeah.
I'm pretty hyped on some spring jumps, spring corn, stuff like that. And luckily in Utah, they're doing a really good job distributing vaccines for COVID. So I already got my first one. So I'll get my second one here in a couple weeks, which is just like so exciting to think about.
Yeah, it's almost like a thing to brag about at this point, is like if you got your vaccine, it's like I'm like holding it up. I'm like, I have the piece of paper like glued to my fucking forehead at this point.
I like fully condone the annoying like Instagram story of your card. Like,
I'm in.
Go for it. Like post it 100 times.
Let everybody know. I don't care. Stab me with that thing. I'm like so ready to just like move around and be a regular person again.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sure we are.
Yeah, I think the first time I met you was at Ex-Wives in Salt Lake a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Which is, for people who aren't from Salt Lake, it's like the diviest dive bar ever.
Yeah.
And my ultimate goal when COVID is over is just to go drink a $2 PBR at Ex-Wives and I will be a happy camper.
That's it. That's imagine that being the low bar, like of being back to rent, is like you get to go to Ex-Wives and have a $2 PBR. That's all you want in life. That's all you're asking for, and you can't have that right now.
That's all I want. That's all I wanted for 12 months.
That is, and for people that don't know what Ex-Wives is, that is an absolutely insane thing to crave. But I mean, it's I can't
the
say.
Spot for skiers though.
Sure. It is very cool. It is a very cool spot. It is not it's cool in a different way.
It's cool if you're fully vaccinated.
For sure. There you go. Exactly. If you got that card to brag about, it's very cool. Can I ask you about being a Utah local? It's like Utah, obviously, Park City, Salt Lake, Snowbird, Alta, like everything is such a big touristy attraction. They're on Icon Pass. They're on like, I don't know what's on Epic Pass, but the traffic of skiers is heavy every single year. And it seems like it's been worse than normal this year. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is? Has that affected you at all? Like, is it, as someone who lives there, is it an annoying thing to have this many people in and out of town?
Yeah, it's really frustrating and it's really hard, especially growing up in Montana. I was so spoiled because there's just so many less people up there and there's just not the tourism that there is here. So before I moved to Utah, I've never even experienced like waiting in a line to go skiing, waking up so early to go like sit in the canyon traffic. It's just insane. Like, I don't even ski on the weekends at the resort anymore. I
can't imagine why you would.
Yeah, no, it's so hard because you just don't want to go wait in lines. For me personally, I don't know, it's just more motivation to spend more time in the backcountry. I'm really trying to save up to get myself a snowmobile. I'm definitely a big fan of the snow machines. So hopefully that will be reality here soon. And then I just probably honestly won't spend as much time at the resorts because Are we allowed? Yeah, we're allowed to swear. It's just a shit show. Like,
yeah, absolutely. If it's it's a total shit show, and that's like kind of what I was wondering. And I know how some people feel. Like, I know how Digi feels for exact. Like, I know how some people feel because they voice their opinions. But I don't know how like you seem like a very, I don't know, a nice person. Like, so for it to be frustrating for you means it's frustrating for everybody. I feel like, right.
And it's just like, I don't want to hate on the resorts or the people going up or anything.
And it's
anybody.
Not so much like you're not coming at the people individually. No. It's not like you're like, Johnny from New York, don't fucking come here. You're like, there's got to be something to be done about the way that everybody gets dispersed. And I think a lot of that is Icon, right? Like, it's the way
for
that
sure.
that Icon path,
and,
like,
yeah.
It's like, if you only have two resorts that are on that pass and they're all in the same, like, you can access everything from Little Cottonwood Canyon. Like, I mean, you're going to have traffic every single fucking day. Right? Like,
yeah,
it makes
it's just
sense.
So hard because, like, personally, obviously, I'm not a fan of like Icon and Epic, but at the same time, I want Skiing to be accessible for everybody.
I know,
and I don't want to like shut people down. So it's like, it's just like a hard issue, and I personally can't think of like a solution, so I understand why it's an issue.
Yeah, that's why it's an issue, right? Like, somebody came at me hard for that exact thing the other day on Instagram because I was like talking about being more inclusive in skiing, and then I was complaining at the same time
I know,
at it being 20% cheaper to buy an Epic Pass. And that's because like you're not making skiing accessible, you're making waiting in line really accessible. I think that's what
a good point.
That's what it is. It's like we're not gonna be just like tricked into thinking that this is a good idea. There's cheaper skiing at like the local molehill. Where, by the way, like, that's where I grew up skiing, was like at this like 300 vert place with basically just a tow rope. Like, it wasn't sick, but it was skiing and it was okay. And it was, you know what? It's like $150 for a season pass or some shit like that. Like, it's not expensive. So the problem is that I think Epic and Icon make it so accessible to go ski wherever you want that you bring in and dump all this tourist traffic on an area that maybe isn't ready for it, for one, and also isn't like, definitely can't handle the traffic. Or the skier population. Like, I mean, it's at every Vail resort this year. There, I don't know of one that hasn't had, like, that hasn't been blown up on Instagram with like some crazy line picture. Like, it's happened everywhere, for everywhere sure. that I can think of.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's a tough one. Hopefully things change.
You're
and
just
also,
gonna get a snowmobiling.
Yeah. I'll be out snowmobiling. Yeah, until they figure it out. Hopefully. No other comment.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I do think it's going to get worse, like, especially because Epic is 20% cheaper next year. Like, it's, or this year,
that's crazy. Wow.
It's going to be a pain in the ass. But anyway, let me do some questions because a bunch of people asked you stuff.
Oh boy, I'm kind of nervous for this.
Nothing was bad, I don't think. Okay. All right, like, five or six people asked the same thing, so I'm not going to call anybody individually out, but all of these people want to know advice for first backflip attempt. What's the story?
Okay, I've got lots of advice because people's first backflip is like my favorite thing ever. Like, being present for that, it's just, I still like joke all the time, like, the day I did my first backflip was like the best day ever.
Really?
So I'd say, first of all, wait for a day when the conditions are good. So either like a lot of powder or like spring super slush. And I feel like the main two things is like speed is your friend and press off the balls of your feet. I remember like just like thinking about pressing off the balls of your feet gives you all the control in the flip. Like, if you're just like slinging it off your heels, you have no control. It's like off the balls of your feet, push your hips out, lots of speed. Going too big is better than going too small. Like, tipping in is the worst. So,
yeah, I feel like, I think the problem with it is that everybody's fear is doing both of them. Like, everybody is equally as scared of overshooting it as they are of going tip down, I feel like. Or at least that's what it seems like to me.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's good advice. Balls of your feet. I've never heard that before.
A lot. Like if you think about it, like, if you're going to, like, shoot, like, a free throw in basketball, how you'd, like, jump off the balls of your feet. It's like that same feeling. Like, that's how you want to jump off the jump.
Got it. Okay. All right. That makes sense. I think you're going to help quite a few people out with this. Yeah, because I've never heard that.
Send me their first attempts. If you like hear this and then go attempt one, like please send it to me. I'd love to see it.
Send Ryan your first attempts. That's it. five of the six were female, just so you know. So I think that that's really...
Go get it, ladies.
I think that's very cool.
Friend.
Speed is your friend. T. Pratt wants to know, what do you do when you're scared for a backflip?
Oh, that's funny. I was just about to say this, because everyone jokes, like, whenever I get super scared, I go way too big. I have this weird thing, like, if I'm scared, I'll, like, come in faster, which is, like, super, like, not what you'd think.
Why? But it's funny, why?
Because like, I'm so scared of tipping in that I'm, like, like, I would way rather, like, overshoot this and land on my back. So, like, anytime I've been scared, I go, like, twice as big as I intend. And so that's kind of a running joke with me and my friends.
Sick.
Like, get Ryan scared. She's going to go huge.
Yeah, I don't think most people have that issue, Ryan. Like, I think most people are, like, terrified. They end up either not doing it or they way undershoot. At least, again, speaking for myself, my issue is definitely always, like, just being terrified. And that's it. All right, Renee McCurdy wants to know, do you feel any pressure to keep progressing and to keep being rad? And I'm kind of going to paraphrase a little. I'm assuming she means like outside pressure, because obviously you have that pressure for yourself, but do you feel anything, especially when you do something that gets a lot of public response, right? Do you feel any pressure to keep doing that? Like you have to keep doing that?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely have like a personal struggle feeling like every day that I go skiing that I need to go like be insane and like be doing backflips off of everything. And like, it's really hard for me to accept that some days, you know, are mellow days of skiing, and that's like totally okay. Like I don't have to be like skiing and like progressing to the absolute most every single day. I think like that carries over from moguls, because when you're training in moguls, like you're always trying to get better every single day. Mm-hmm. But free skiing is different. You know, it's okay to like have a day where you just want to chill and ski groomers, or like it's okay if you don't even want to go skiing or like have a week of burnout. Like you don't always have to be quote unquote training to be better. And that sometimes I just have to take a step back and take a deep breath and be like, Ryan, it's just skiing. Like you don't have to be like scared and pushing yourself to the max every single day.
Does that work for you? Like people say that all the time, like take a step back, or like they have that feel. Like does actually taking a step back and talking to yourself for a minute, do you find that helps you?
I mean, kinda. I mean, I feel like this is a question I'm still trying to like work on myself.
Yeah.
Like I remember there was something you posted a while ago about like canceling plans with friends to go skiing because of like anxiety.
Totally.
Need a break. And like that's something like I'm still working. Like when you posted that, I was like, I can relate to that. And like it's okay to, that's something I'm working on, is just being okay.
Yeah.
Not being on your A game all the time.
Yeah. And I think, and the reason I had posted that was because like I found myself like getting up for like a dawn patrol at like fucking 4 o'clock in the morning to go drive an hour and a half to get to the hill. And like, it just like, it burns you out and you don't always want to do it. Like, you're just like, okay, is this going to suck? Or is this going to be even worth getting up this morning?
Yeah.
Or like, or maybe you're going with someone that you're like intimidated by and you're just like, why am I bothering to even go do this? It's not worth. And it's just like, it is a feeling that I think a lot of people have, but I don't know. It's a weird thing. And that's the other thing is too, is that like when you're on Instagram all the time or you're on social media all the time, you're just seeing different people kill it every day. And you're like, I should have been there. I should have been out there killing it, doing this thing. All these people are working harder than me. But in reality, like everybody kind of has the same feelings just individually instead of collectively.
Yeah, it's so hard. Like every powder day, I feel like I should be like shooting and getting after it. And sometimes it's just not your day. And like, that's totally okay.
Yeah, I think that's really important for people to understand. And maybe people do understand this. And, you know, we're just on an island. We think that every day has to be our day. But I think that's a really important thing.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think that's important for people to hear, too. And also being able to say no, like in the moment, like there's been times, too, like this happened literally 2 days ago. We were out shooting and the conditions were good and we built this jump and I really just was not feeling it. Like, I just, like, in my gut, like, didn't feel like it was the safest idea for me, and I called it off.
Yeah. That's
and
huge.
And it really wasn't, like, conditions were fine. Like, the filmers were there. Like, there was all this pressure, and I was just like, you know what? Like, today, I really don't think it's my day. And that was, like, so hard for me, but it was also, I was proud of myself that I was able to, you know, be like,
that's a real fucking adult decision. Yeah. Like, that's a real thing to do. Like, that's awesome that you were able to separate yourself in that moment and do that. Because a lot of people wouldn't have, right?
Yeah, and I really want people to know that, because I don't want someone to be, like, standing at the top of something that they're not sure of and be like, oh, like, I bet Ryan would have sent it. Like, there's so many times that I'm like, no. Like, you know, like, you know yourself and your capabilities. And obviously it's okay to be scared, but there's definitely a line.
It's so hard for people to find that line, though. That's the problem, is that people don't know when they're scared.
Yeah, it's so true. And I struggle with it too. But I mean, we're all learning together. I guess that's the point. Like, don't feel bad about having that struggle.
All right. Let's figure out what else we got here. When are we going to see a double? Says sales. Sounds like. Okay. Claire Chapman had a really good one here. How does the ski world need to change to be a safer, more supportive place for ladies?
Ooh, Claire, that's a good one. Well, first of all, Claire is awesome. She's like really good at progressing the sport for women and making it really inclusive from the beginners all the way up to professionals. Honestly, I feel like this year has been so monumental for women skiing, just because I've personally experienced so much support from other women. And I think that's the number one thing, is just like supporting each other and not being against each other. I feel like in so many sports and areas of life, women are just trained to like compete against each other and try to be better than each other. But what I've found in skiing this year is that anytime I do something I'm proud of, like, so many other girls are like also proud of it. They're like, that was so sick. And then they're able to go do something that I'm proud of. And like, everyone, I feel like, is just like progressing together. And the more there can be that support and just genuine stoke for other women doing well in skiing, the better environment it is for everyone, and the more we'll be able to push the sport. Like, absolutely. If you're just out there for yourself, like, what's the point?
Yeah. I it's funny you say that, and the first image in my head is like watching and listening to the audio of Madison Ostergren filming your backflip and her just like screaming like, yeah.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
It was amazing. Like, but it was like real genuine stoke. And of course, like, she's the most stoked person that I've ever met, I think. Like, she just yells about everything. And I think that's awesome. Like that, but you can feel how real it is in the moment.
Yeah. I just remember that was the best day ever. Cause she was out there with her film crew and I was out there with my film crew. And she was just like freaking on fire. Like, if you know what A-frame is at Alta, it's like a massive cliff. And she skied off it and like skied away. Like, I didn't even realize that like skiing away from A-frame existed. I thought you just like, it was one of those that was so big that you just like drop off of it. But like, she was just on fire and I was so stoked for her and she was so stoked for me. And that like honestly made the whole experience like that much better. Cause like, we were both pushing the sport together and like, hell yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, for sure. What else do you, and I hate when people ask questions like this, like where they're like, oh, like what do women want? Like, but what do women want? And here I am doing it. What do women want in like from the industry itself, right? Like, I get that you feel women should be supporting each other and I totally agree. And I think this year you've seen it more than ever. Like, I think it has been much better for whatever reason. Like, this just seems to be the year when a switch flipped and you're just more you're seeing it actively out there, I guess. But what else needs to change in the industry so that things can get better? Because I don't think it is an issue right now, but I don't think it should be an issue. It should be like, Ryan sends hard, not for a girl, Ryan sends hard, period. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how I think it should be. But what do you want, I guess? Like, what should happen?
I guess I just think there needs to be a shift from professional women skiers to be taken seriously as athletes and not just influencers on Instagram. I think the more that we can be recognized for our athletic abilities rather than if we look pretty in a helmet or, you know, can take nice like powder photos, like professional skiing is about the skiing and about the athleticism. And I think the more that it can become about that for any gender is awesome. And, you know, not about influencing skiing on Instagram, if that makes sense.
So how do we handle that, I guess? Because that's such a hard thing. Because say you're someone, right, who is an okay skier and a brand's like, oh, you look good in a helmet. You know, like, what do they do? Because the problem is the system kind of promotes that being a thing, I guess. And I'm saying the system, yeah. But I mean, brands will look at a girl to go, okay, like she looks good in a helmet. And that's the reason that they'll put her one place or another sometimes. And sometimes it's not like, but there's just this thing where it feels like we know what the issue is and we don't know how to get around it.
Where it's so hard. Cause it's like, if there is a girl out there that wants to be a ski influencer, like more power to her.
You want
to
be stoked, right? Like, it's like, you want to be happy for that person. Yeah, I know.
That's what she wants. But I guess.
And I don't mean to ask this question. I hope this isn't coming off like in a shitty way.
I like talking about it. I think it's just the importance of like recognizing the difference. Like, I want to be treated seriously as an athlete. Yeah. And so I guess it just comes down to personal case-to-case scenarios. Like, I hope that like when I go into like sponsorship opportunities that I'm treated like an athlete and I'm not going to be just like shooting like staged photos in a helmet. Like, I want to go be doing like backflips in a helmet.
Yeah.
Or like skiing gnarly lines. That's my personal goal for myself. And I like hope that sponsors can respect that and like work with me in that way. And then maybe other people on a sponsored, like other people with my same sponsors might be doing more of those photos.
Yeah. That's kind of, I guess, my point is like, I hope we get to the point where it's like everybody can kind of just do what the fuck they want. And I think that's, but it won't be like determined by somebody else. Like, have you had that experience with have you ever walked into a sponsor meeting or talked to somebody about being a sponsor and it was clear that they weren't taking you seriously as an athlete? Or have you had the positive side of it mostly?
I've never like personally experienced it from sponsors. I've more just like gotten comments about like, oh, like all you need to make it in skiing is like to be like a pretty face.
Yeah,
that's, and it's not necessarily like directed at me, but it's just like comments I hear like that. That I'm
oh,
like,
you see it all the time. Womcork did a fucking like post on it yesterday. They did like a full video of like dumb comments that people say like to female professional skiers or female skiers in general. It's like, it's a shame. I mean, and again, like reading comments on Instagram is definitely a not great thing for anybody's mental health, but I hope we get to a place, and I think we're heading to a place where it's going to get better.
Yeah. And I think it's cool. Like, I don't know. I struggle like coming from moguls. Like, it was such a learning curve coming into kind of like the sponsorship side of skiing. Yeah. And like, I used to ski in like men's XL snow pants that were like black. So then having to switch to like pink women's small, I was like, whoa, like, why do I have to do that? Like, but it's been cool. So like, I ski for Strafe outerwear and they're really good at kind of like progressing women's gear. And like, they just sent me next year's snow pants and they're like super baggy. And I'm like so stoked on that. Like, it does, I don't have to like, I can look like a little, like sometimes I joke, I used to like look like a 12-year-old boy in my ski stuff just cause like, you can't tell. And like,
no, you can't tell. Yeah.
Like, that's where I want to get to. I want to be able to like go back to looking like a 12-year-old boy and still being taken seriously.
That's sick. That's sick. I think that's very cool. And I think that's very admirable because like, you want to make it just about the skiing and who you are as a person,
sure.
You know, like that's it. All right, let's do one more question and we'll wrap this thing up. Digi's question is actually one of my favorites. And I think you've maybe named a couple, but name your Mount Rushmore of female skiers.
Oh boy. Okay. Yeah. Well, Tatum Minot is definitely up there for me.
Okay.
All of the blondes.
They count as
and
one.
I'm gonna throw in a curveball from moguls. My mogul idol is Heather McPhee.
Okay.
She grew up in the same program as me in Montana and kind of was my original idol and mentor. And she was also the first woman to compete a back full and a cork seven in the same mogul run. And she did it in the Olympics, knowing Sick. That she might not score as well. And ended up kind of sacrificing a medal at the Olympics in order to push the sport. And I think that's the dopest thing ever.
For sure.
That she valued pushing the sport for women more than an Olympic medal. Like, that is so rad.
That's a very good pick.
Yeah.
All right. So we're counting the blondes as one, I think. Like, it's okay. We're counting them as one spot because we're calling them the blondes. Yes, they are individuals, but we're calling them the blondes. Who else you got?
Michelle Parker.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay.
How many are we picking here?
Four, I think.
Okay.
How many is that? How many people are on Mount Rushmore?
I think so. Oh God, you're testing my history. I'm graduated from college. I don't need to know these things.
Yeah, anymore.
I'm kidding. A few years out.
No, you're not kidding. I don't remember. I don't think about it at all. The only time they don't tell you this when you're a kid, but the only time that anybody talks about Mount Rushmore is when they're talking about sports. Like, that's the only time anybody ever goes like, oh, the Mount Rushmore of what? Like, nobody actually.
Okay, yeah, I'm not a sports person, so.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for taking the time. I appreciate it. Where can people find you on social media? And obviously anything else you want to plug, feel free. This is your time.
Okay. Yeah. I guess my social media is mostly just Instagram. It's just my name, Ryan Zetzer, RIAN.
Okay, is there a story behind that? Sorry to interrupt, but is there a story behind that spelling? 'Cause you're the only person I've ever met.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
My parents are like super hippies.
Okay.
And they, well, first of all, they really just wanted a boy name for their first girl. So I was either going to be like Logan or Riley or Ryan, but then they also just wanted to throw that little hippie flair. And it was kind of after the constellation Orion.
Yeah.
But then even spelled different from that. So.
Yeah.
Hippie all right. parents.
You know? And you would have picked Ryan. Like if you had those other options, Logan and whatever the other ones were.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm a Ryan at this point.
Yeah, so. At this point, it doesn't matter anyway. Anyway, continue. Sorry, I interrupted you mid-plug.
Oh, no, you're good. I mean, it's just Instagram. I'm not going to give up my TikTok. That's
okay. private. That's private. Okay.
If you find it, good on you. It's pretty embarrassing.
TikTok is where it's at right now. I am like, I'm fully immersed. I was not in it at all. I thought it was the dumbest thing ever. I was one of those people that was like, I thought I was smarter than you because I didn't have a TikTok. I was like, no, TikTok, I'm too old for TikTok. But then I got on it. I'm like, this is my life now. I live here.
So addicting and so good for like a short attention span.
You know what it's doing too. And it's just like, you know that it's just like feeding you shit you want over and over and over again. And you don't care. You're like, I just give me more. You're right. I want it. Give me all of it. Perfect.
Yep.
All right, Ryan. Thank you. That was episode one something with Ryan Zetzer. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did. You be sure to follow her on social media at Ryan Zetzer, RIANZETZER. Once again, leave us a review on iTunes. Leave us 5 stars. Leave me some mail. If you go to contact us on the website, interact with us on social, shoot us a message on the Instagram, blah, 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 blah. So many things. Not enough time. I will see you guys next week, and bye.